Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March the 16th, 2024. Today is Saturday in the fourth week of Lent. This is a reading from Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 19. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he would find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. Here ends the reading. If you recall, in yesterday's reading, Jesus enters Jerusalem accompanied by shouts of "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And then he heads straight to the temple. As Mark tells the story, once Jesus gets to the temple, he, quote, looked around at everything, and because it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12, end quote. According to my Bible commentary, Bethany was only a couple of miles from Jerusalem, so it wasn't a long walk, but based on what happens in our passage today, apparently Jesus saw everything he needed to see in his brief visit to the temple grounds. When Jesus returns in our passage today, which if you're keeping count would be Monday in what we now call Holy Week, he is on a mission. He completely disrupts the status quo. He unceremoniously and aggressively upends business as usual. Some of my non-religious friends are all too happy to point out religion can be big business, and plenty of shrewd people know how to turn a profit on the backs of the pious. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever, I suppose. The business Jesus was upending was twofold. Inside the temple grounds, only temple coinage could be used. Roman coins could not be used because they displayed the head of Caesar, who Romans claimed to be a god, thus violating Jewish law about idolatry, false gods, and graven images. While everyone had to use this coinage in their daily dealings, to use such a profane thing within the temple environs was particularly offensive and downright forbidden. So, there were currency dealers, aka money changers, in the temple courtyard. These helpful folks would convert the vile Roman coinage into temple holy coinage for a price, of course. Then, this temple coinage was used by the devout to purchase various animals for the purpose of fulfilling sacrificial obligations. And of course, there were a cadre of animal vendors selling their living wares at a substantial markup. All of this meant that faithful pilgrims were selling money at a loss and buying sacrifices at a premium price, so they were getting gouged at every turn, and the poorest of the pilgrims were the ones getting gouged the most. it was all perfectly legal. But a den of robbers is still a den of robbers. Thus, Jesus' action of upending this temple economy is prophetic in nature. He is making a statement about using legal loopholes to oppress the poor. He is making a statement about how the entire money-changing system is using Caesar's money to turn a healthy profit at the expense of those who could least afford it. This disruption provided the religious leadership with another motive for wanting to get rid of Jesus, indicating that, you know, they may have been getting a kickback from the entire operation. So Jesus' actions against the money changers and the sacrifice sellers was also hitting the people at the top of the hierarchy in their wallets. Be a prophet if you want, Jesus, but for all that is holy, don't prevent the professional holy people from getting their cut. Otherwise, they'll try to find a way to kill you. I have to say, when I read this passage from the perspective of the religious class, I'm called up short. I am all too aware that I depend upon the faithful for my housing and my living. Hopefully, I'm not fleecing the flock, but I don't believe Jesus' actions in this passage are simply about way back then. I am reminded that anything we religious people do to control access to the good news or to attempt to manage the dispensation of grace is the same as overcharging for a currency exchange or a turtle dove. To make our churches dens of robbers isn't about selling cookies or calendars in the narthex. It's about anything we do that would hinder anyone's experience of God's love and mercy. I'm sad to say that through the centuries, churches have done more than their fair share of this sort of interference. May God have mercy upon us. Anyone who is keeping up with the state of religion in America these days knows that there are fewer and fewer people attending any sort of religious worship service. There are literally millions of people who are now amongst what are called the de-churched, which means at one time they were a part of a community of faith, but for whatever reason, they are no longer. I have no idea how many of these millions are absent from us because of the ways they felt squeezed, either for their money or for their time and energy. Unfortunately, the church has been guilty of squeezing people for all sorts of things, for no other reason than our own selfish desire for success or survival. I often wonder what tables, literal and metaphorical, Jesus would overturn in our respective places of worship if he showed up on a Sunday morning. How are we hindering the good news through our own narrow-mindedness? What are the ways we are oppressing the oppressed and extorting those who are faithful? What turtle doves are we selling at premium prices? The stakes are higher than they've ever been. As religious folks, we can ill afford to drive away anyone who comes to our communities seeking to hear the good news. We need to constantly remember that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit are not spiritual commodities. Salvation is God's free gift. Grace, love, and fellowship are constitutive of who we are as the people of God. Any attempt to make salvation transactional is thievery in the name of religion. And if we're ever guilty of such a thing, well, then to hell with us. Let us pray. Mercifully hear our prayers, O Lord, and spare all those who confess their sins to you, that those whose consciences are accused by sin may be, by your merciful pardon, absolved. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.